The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, obtaining a mortgage is often stressful, even for people who have the traditional requirements for securing one. And it can be even more difficult when you're self-employed or seeking a second-time mortgage. Well, Margaret Barrett, Managing Director of Mortgage Navigators, is here to answer your mortgage-related questions. Good morning and
morning,
welcome,
Pat.
Margaret. Now, first of all, for second-time buyers, yep, often the problem is that they're in a chain.
Absolutely. And it can be a chain of 6-8 people, unfortunately. But I suppose just to preface this, mover mortgages are happening, and they're happening all the time. They accounted for quarter two, nearly 22%, 21% actually, 21% of all mortgages drawn down in 2025 or quarter two. But it is in a chain, so you need to be extremely organised and extremely prepared.
Now, there was a time when bridging mortgage was quite the thing, that you wanted to buy something, you had your eye on it, you were waiting to sell your own house. So you got bridging, you're effectively paying two mortgages for a while.
It's back, would you believe? We have a bridging product back. We have a provider that launched it at the back end of last year, so it is back. It's an expensive product, you know, if you can avoid it, you know, it's best advised, because it is an expensive product, but it is there. I suppose what we advise our clients that are moving, Pat, is that you have to be organised. So you have to have your mortgage approval in place before you even go to the market. That's just a given now. Auctioneers will not entertain you if you don't have it. Number two, if you're planning on selling your property, you have to instruct your own solicitor early, because there is a significant amount of paperwork that's required to get the property prepared for selling. Your title deeds may be with an existing bank. They can take 2 to 3 weeks or 4 weeks maybe in some cases to
and
get
they're
back.
They're released to the solicitor.
Absolutely. And they're released on trust. Planning permission, if you built an extension or built a side extension, the solicitor has to confirm that all of that is in order. So there's lots of paperwork that needs to be done early on. It is a slow journey, and especially if there's a chain.
Okay, now how do you break the chain? I mean, if,
there's no breaking.
Like I've just done the deal on the basis that someone's buying my house, and they pull out. They pull out of the deal. I've no longer got my house sold and I'm stuck.
Yeah, and that happens all the time. So bearing in mind, if you're selling your property, you're selling it to someone. So there's someone buying your property, you're selling a property. The house you're buying, there's a seller and a buyer in there as well. Keeping all of that chain going in parallel is extremely difficult. And things,
it could be like Skittles, that one drops and 100%, they all fall.
100%. And loan offers can go out of date. So a loan offer stays valid for a very short period of time. It's 6 months. Sounds like a lot, but the months absolutely evaporate. So you need to keep in constant contact with your solicitor, the vendor's solicitor, the estate agents on both sides, and making sure that the broker, if it's a broker in between, is also updated with the process, so that we're prepared for mortgage drawdown.
So be prepared or prepare to fail.
That's absolutely 100%. And as you say, we do have a bridging product there now, if at all.
Let's talk about people who are not the classic civil servant with a predictable income for the next 40 years and increments coming in, and you qualify for a mortgage fairly straightforwardly. Those in the gig economy, or those who have episodic work.
Yeah, absolutely. Professional contractors, let's call them, or freelancers. There's still a continuous amount of myth still in the mortgage market when it comes to these applicants, Pat, and we've done a lot, I suppose, at Mortgage Navigators to break those myths. But I suppose the good news is that we have worked relentlessly with lenders over the last couple of years since we took office, in our Cork and Dublin office. Lenders are now looking at freelancers and contractors over a 2 to 3 year period. That doesn't mean you have to be a contractor or a freelancer for that period of time. They're looking at your income to see how consistent and how sustainable it is into the future. So take, for example, a software engineer that was working in a PAYE role and has decided to go contracting because of income reasons, always income reasons, that there's more income to be gained out of it. The lenders are now looking at the tax returns for the last 2 years and taking an average of the PAYE income, for example. If that person was contracting or freelancing for the last 2 years, it is the same assessment. They're looking at the tax returns over the last 2 years and averaging it for an income assessment. They are absolutely open to freelancers.
Okay, even though 2 years doesn't seem like a long time to establish, if you like, a track record of your ability to do better in your freelance gig than you were doing in your regular 9 to 5.
Yeah, and it's enough to make an assessment, because it's showing that the income has been consistent, number one, for the last 2 years, and we're then looking at the current contract in hand, and that contract might be a 6 or 12 month contract. Normally, like, we'd like to see a 12 month, but sometimes it is a 6 month contract, but we're looking at the value of that contract. So they're normally paid, a contractor is normally paid 650 euros per day, and we're annualising that. It is normally substantially more than the last 2 years' income.
Now, what about people who are not in the gig economy doing these odd jobs for big money? but they're routinely self-employed. Now, there might be
sole traders,
a painter and decorator. Yeah. Who works every day of his or her life.
Yeah, absolutely. Same assessment. So I suppose the difference here is that if this was a painter decorator that was working for a large firm and is now going out as a painter decorator on their own terms, they are really technically self-employed. So they're starting from scratch. So in that case, we will require 2 years sets of profit and loss and balance sheets or 2 years tax returns to assess the income. But it is averaged over the last 2 years.
Now, there are people who will be running small limited companies, for example. And what happens if there are loans attached to the limited company?
Yeah. And normally, if it's a 100% shareholder director in a limited company, the loans are attached to that person. So they're assessed. I suppose for a limited company, what we're looking at is a director's remuneration plus profit, less any loan repayments, monthly loan, annual loan repayments, plus the interest. A bit of a complicated scenario, but plus the interest on the loans is added back. So that's the max. That's the max. We're trying to get to the max income capacity out of that set of accounts. I suppose the advice to anyone that's sitting inside in a limited company account is not to overexpense the company, because we're looking at that net profit to add back onto the income assessment.
So be frugal
absolutely in
the time running up
and
to
just
the...
One other thing, Pat, to add there, not all lenders add back pension contributions, so to be wary of that. Now, we do have two new lenders into the market that do add back pension contributions, but obviously for tax efficiency and for good retirement planning, you should be loading into your pension out of your company, but some lenders will not add that back, so it's seen as an expense.
All right, there are lots of questions coming in. Son lost his house in the property crash. Now, 18 years on, married with two kids, living with the parents. He's tried everywhere for a mortgage, both with good jobs, earning a lot. They are, let's see, on the council list. Can he get a mortgage? He's desperate at this stage. Oh, yeah, they're too much to be on a council housing list. Mm-hmm. So they're both two people earning good money, but because of their history and the property crash, can't get a mortgage.
There must be something remaining on the CCR, because every bank is obliged to look at a fresh start application. So what they're looking for is a CCR, which is your central credit history report, that keeps, I suppose, a track record of your lending over the last 5 years. When a mortgage has missed payments, lenders will want that to be paid up to date and completed. And I'm just wondering, is there still something showing here in the CCR report for this applicant? Happy to speak to them offline.
Quick question. After huge effort and sacrifice, we paid our mortgage off, but our deeds are still with the bank some years later. What should we do and how should we store them? I presume solicitors will charge an annual fee to hold onto them. That's from Pather.
Yeah. Look, the bank are happy to keep them. They're in a safe place. If you need them in the future, you can request them. They can obviously be kept with your solicitor, but she's right here, or he's right. The solicitor will charge an annual fee. But they're safe where they are.
The banker, are they not going to say someday, look, please take these off our hands?
They're safe. They're safe where they are.
Yeah. Please advise two OAPs who need to downsize, no mortgage on the current property. Selling it would provide a nest egg. We've seen a property. How can we secure that property we want to buy before we sell our home?
Yeah. There is an option here, right, okay, which is good news, right, depending on the age of the applicants here. You have two new lenders into the Irish market that have credit criteria that will lend to the age of 75 with one and 80 with the other, which is good news in this situation, because we can release equity on their current property if there's enough equity to buy the next property. That's the cheapest way out of this situation.
What percentage equity would they release?
Probably up to 70% in, 70%.
So if they're going to have a nest egg at the end of this, presumably they're hoping to buy this new property
and sell.
And sell their own, leaving the nest egg. So they might qualify for that 70%.
They could. Now, the assessment here is that the lender will look to make sure that they have a private pension income to service the mortgage repayment. That's the test in it. As I say, we do have a lender that has brought back bridging, but it is quite an expensive product. And we do have a lender called Spry Finance out there as well that lends to applicants over the age of 60. Again, a little bit more expensive.
But that business of equity release, is the interest rate very high?
No, it's standard interest rates. So you're talking anywhere from 3.6 to 4.2%. So that's probably the cheapest way out.
Are people stuck with a certain term in that situation?
These two lenders that I'm talking about don't have a variable interest rate. So there would be an early repayment fee should it be paid off quickly, but it would be cheaper than the bridging.
Okay, so they'd have to do the sums in terms of what the penalty would be versus if they just kept on paying it until the term was up.
Exactly, which would be a three-year fixed minimum.
A warning on mortgage insurance. We were sold mortgage insurance even though the bank knew I was self-employed. They had copies of accounts. When we went to claim during the downturn, we were told we were not covered. No money back.
This is mortgage protection. So mortgage protection is required for all mortgage drawdowns, regardless of what the income is being generated
and
from.
Does it protect you from all eventualities, like a downturn?
No. So all mortgage, depending on the policy, mortgage protection is there in the case of debt, right? Okay, so God forbid any one of the applicants die during the term of the mortgage is paid off. This person possibly should have looked at an income protection policy, I would suspect.
No, I'm just thinking that the mortgage protection policy has got to be there because it's required by law.
Absolutely. It's required
so then you get the cheapest of cheapo type of mortgage protection. Is there a better kind of mortgage protection that would protect you from such an eventuality?
Yeah, not mortgage protection, but there would be income protection, I think, in this case where the, you know, loss of employment came in. So they could have, I suppose, called on the income protection there. There is a level term. There's two different policies required for a mortgage. There's mortgage protection, which God forbid protects in the case of debt. And then there's a level term mortgage protection policy that doesn't decrease in line with the mortgage and leaves a lump sum in the case of debt as well.
Margaret Barton, Managing Director of Mortgage Navigators, based in Cork and Dublin. Thank you very much joining us. Now, don't forget our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to on the Newstalk app, powered by GoLad. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On Newstalk.